So with that, how do they do a viral culture?
Well, it's very interesting and quite astonishing. But what they do is they take basically the raw sample from the sick person. So like, you know, they want to look at a virus that supposedly makes someone sick, right? So they have a sick person, and depending on what part of their body is sick, they take a tissue or fluid from that part of the body. So like, let's say it causes a lung infection, they would take lung fluid, okay? And that is a very dirty sample because it has many, many things in it, many different kinds of cells, many different chemicals floating around in it, genetic material, et cetera. They don't filter that. What they do is they add that to a cell culture. And the cell culture cells are generally not human cells. They are sometimes. There was one paper I saw where they used lung cancer cells from a human. Right. But they're usually monkey kidney cells. That's the most common one. But these are like commercially available cell cultures, right, that you could just buy.
Egg yolk stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, you could culture these things on egg yolk probably. But what they do in these virus experiments is that they use minimal growth media. So in other words, just the basic amount of nutrition that the cells need to survive.
Right.
Not thriving type level of nutrition.
Right.
Then they add bovine calf serum. So like the blood product, the non-cellular blood product from a baby cow, which could have lots of things, foreign proteins in it that could cause damage to a cell. Then they add antibiotics. And they don't always specify which ones they add, but the reason is they say, well, they don't want any, you know, bacteria to contaminate the sample.
Right.
But I thought this was really interesting, Tom, because you're familiar with amphotericin B, right?
Yes.
Fungal. So, you know,
Amphoterrible,
exactly, right? And we know it's very toxic, and it's like, you know, if someone's about to die is when they get amphotericin B. And it's an antifungal antibiotic. And one of the main toxicities it has is to the kidney. Well, they mixed it with kidney cells. So what do you think might happen there, right? So all the antibiotics that they mix, they're all toxic to cells. Like antibiotic means against life.
Yeah.
And they're also, antibiotics are known to induce cells to make exosomes.
Right.
So there's the calf serum, there's the minimal nutrition, and then there's the toxic antibiotics, and there may be some other things like some buffers and things like that. But that's the main recipe. And then they add in this contaminated lung fluid from someone who's got pneumonia in with that cell culture. Now, then they observe the cell culture for several days, and they're looking for what they call cytopathic effects. Right. So in other words, non-specific damage to the cells. Now, right. Of course, if you mix cell culture with a bunch of toxic things, and by the way, there are many things that could be toxic in that lung fluid as well.
Yes.
From a sick individual. It's not that surprising that you'll see damage to the cells. And when cells undergo damage, they behave in predictable ways. So early on, they would basically send out alarm signals. And one of those would be by putting out exosomes. And we know in these cell cultures, they're always going to do that because we gave them antibiotics. And we know from other research that antibiotics plus cells gives you exosomes.
Right.
And then when the cells start degrading, they basically put off all these kinds of vesicles, like little, they fragment. And this process can go, you know, all the way to complete destruction of the cell. But the, you know, various different constituents get packaged up in the membrane as it pinches off and forms these little particles or vesicles. And this is a protective mechanism to the body, because if the cells released all the contents into your circulation, they would damage other parts of your body. Right. So containing them in these little vesicles as part of the dying process is a helpful thing. And basically what they do is that they look under the microscope at all of these particles in the damaged tissue, and they find one that they say is the virus. And then they show a picture of that. But what they don't do is they don't show pictures of the other particles or the exosomes and say, oh, here's where we found an exosome and here's where we found the virus particle and here's how we can tell one is one and one is the other. They also don't then take that cell culture mishmash and do the filtering and centrifuge and purify it out of that. So you never see like a picture from the microscope where the entire visual field of the slide is virus particles and they all look identical, right? In fact, even when they write about the sizes, right, there's sometimes they write that the particles range in size more than double, right? Imagine if, you know, you say, well, okay, some humans are as short as 4 feet. Some humans are 6 feet and some humans are 12 feet, yeah. Right? Range from 6 to 12 feet. Most animals don't have that much of a range in their, you know, size. But all these things, it's like you'd expect to find something that is homogeneous.
Right, uniform. Right?
And uniform, right? And that's not what they're seeing.
You know, and to me, because as you know, I always think in analogies and metaphors, that the thing that's so interesting about the process of viral culture is the way that a viral culture is done to produce this cytopathic effect is basically starving and poisoning the tissue.
Absolutely.
Which is not unlike how people get sick. You starve, and in fact, it's like we learned, to me, what that proves is if you take a tissue and you want to damage it or kill it, or an organism, basically starve and poison it, and you got a really good shot at hurting it.
Exactly right, and I can just hear an indoctrinated virologist give you a counterargument. Well, we're just making the cell more vulnerable to the virus so that we can highlight the virus effects.
Yes. Right. Except then why don't you do a control and just put saline and purified virus with a healthy, nourished, unpoisoned tissue and see what happens.
Yeah, well, you know, that's an excellent point. And that is like Stefan Lanka right now is trying to raise funds to actually do a negative control experiment. And, you know, it's not trivial because you'd have to do really two negative controls. One where you add saline instead of the lung fluid, but there should be another one where you have the lung fluid of a healthy individual that you add to the culture.